I just want to go and share a couple more things with you, bless God, that I feel is very important. And then we'll get into ministry. Amen. What people have to see, friends, about deliverance and, you know, about evil spirits, you know, getting into Christians and coming in through their involvement in sin and so forth and so on. And people will tell you a lot of times, well, you know, I don't believe the scripture teaches that. I don't believe God will, I've heard people tell me, I don't believe God will, stand by and let the devil get a hold of me. You know, he's a loving God. He loves me. I'm his child. He won't do things like that. I've heard people say all kinds of things like that. Let me tell you something what God will do. I don't care if you're saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost, had the devils put out you and everything else, walking with God. Let me tell you what God will do. He'll allow you to do anything you want to do. If you want to go sin, he'll allow you to sin. And he'll stand there and allow those evil spirits to come right into you. In fact, Matthew 18, he says he'll turn you over to him. He'll help the devil if you walk out of love. Now, I'm telling you the truth. You've got to read the scripture a little bit closer than what a lot of people do. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, talk about the permissive will of God. I've heard a lot of people, you know, say to me, you know, well, I'm living in the permissive will of God when I talk to them or counsel with them. You know what the permissive will of God is? You know, when a person starts talking about the permissive will of God, 9 times out of 10, you know what you're listening to? You're listening to a person that's living in sin. That's walking in sin and telling you that they're in the permissive will of God because God hasn't struck them dead or something, I guess. You know what the permissive will of God is, folks? Let me tell you something. It's anything you want to do outside of the revealed will of God for you. That is the permissive will of God. He'll permit you to rob a gas station, shoot somebody, and everything else, if that's your heart's desire. I don't like to hear people talk about the permissive will of God. I've heard people talk about going out and getting married to a non-saved individual. I had that hit right close to me at home. And stuff like this. And tell me it was a permissive will of God. I've said you're living in sin. You're a sinner. You disobeyed God. You walked out of the revealed will of God. He says don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. You said, well, Lord, I love this unbeliever and I'm going to go and yoke myself up with him. And then come back and say, this is the permissive will of God. What you're done is saying God has permitted you to sin, and I'll agree with that. But brother, let me tell you something. You got to be real careful with things like that. God has his will, and how many knows this is the will of God for you, brother, right here? Anytime you want to deviate or walk around or out of that and call it the permissive will of God, you go ahead. God will permit you to do anything that you want to do. He will. If that's your heart and you want to do it, God will permit it. Didn't he stand right there and permit Judas to do whatever he wanted to do? Didn't he? A man called of God, numbered with the 12, a man that was anointed and sent forth, a man that went forth preaching the gospel, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, and casting out devils, and that mighty preacher of God, and still he turned around and sold out to the devil, and Jesus Christ sat there and watched the devil enter into him according to the word of God. He said, and Satan entered into Judas. Isn't that what the word says? Read it sometime in Luke 22nd chapter, verse 3. After he passed the stop, Satan entered into him. And the Bible says, by transgression, Judas fell. A lot of people say, well, Judas wasn't one of them. Don't you tell me he wasn't one of them. He was numbered with the 12. He went forth like the rest of them, casting out devils and healing the sick, raising the dead and everything else. But when he made a decision to enter into sin and betray the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Satan entered in to Judas. And it wasn't too long after that that Judas committed suicide. Brother, let me tell you something. The wages of sin is death. It don't pay to sin. It don't pay to get out there and sell out to the devil. Because all he's going to do is use you, abuse you, defuse you, and kill you. Maybe not in that order, but that's what he'll do. When he gets you to do your evil thing, amen, and whatever, you ain't going to get no pleasure out of that. Amen. It might be for a little while. The Bible says that there is pleasure in sin, but how many knows the Word says it's just for a season? Amen. How many knows that Moses could have stayed in the house of Pharaoh, but he said he'd rather suffer affliction with God's people than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Just a little season, and then you got to pay for it. Wonder how many long Judas enjoyed it before he went out and committed suicide. As Brother Allen says, the Lord turned him over to a suicide devil. Well, I'll tell you one thing, there was a suicide devil involved in it. Can you say amen? Amen. So you follow what I'm saying. God will permit it. God permitted Judas to do this. God stood there, Jesus sat there and watched him as he did this and as the devil entered into him. My friends, and I'll tell you something right now. The goodness and the mercy of the Lord, I believe Judas could have repented and got that thing right on down to the end, don't you? I believe that he could. Jesus called him friend, just when he was coming up to betray him with a kiss. Isn't that awful? But see, I'm talking about people that can open themselves up to evil spirits. Any preacher in the land, they can't deny that Judas wasn't a preacher of the gospel. Amen. But they also know that he opened himself up to the devil, and the Bible says, and the devil entered into him. Scriptural proof, as far as I'm concerned, or anybody that really wants to understand the Word of God, that Christians, don't matter if you're a preacher or who you are, can open yourself up to the devil. And if you don't get right and get that devil out of you, that devil will end up destroying you. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. You mark this down and read it, study it, meditate in it, and give it to anybody that tells you a Christian can't have a devil. Matthew 12 said, talks about when the unclean spirit goes out of a man. Jesus didn't say if it goes out of a man. He said when it goes out. He says that devil will walk through dry places seeking shelter. And if it finds none, it will return to the house that it left. And if it finds a house in a certain condition, it'll enter into it and take seven other spirits more wicked than itself. The last state of the man is worse than the first. Now you go through this like step by step. He says, when the unclean spirit goes out. Now when does an unclean spirit go out according to the teachings of Christ? When it is what? It's cast out. You don't pray them out. Fast them out, smoke them out, burn them out, freeze them out, you cast them out. That's the only way that Jesus taught us to get rid of it. He says, when it goes out. I could paraphrase that and say, when it's cast out. It walks around in dry places. In other words, it looks for shelter. It looks for another physical body. And it says, if it don't find none, it will return to the house it left. Now, anybody that says, well, you cast spirits out of unbelievers, you cast them out of believers, you cast them out of... Yeah, I don't care who you cast them out of. Then I'm not going to argue right there. I know myself who you cast them out of. But whatever. Regardless of that fact, the Bible says when the devils come back, if the condition of that physical body, that house, is not right, that devil will go back in. If you're a Christian and get the devils out, the devils can come back. They're going to come back and check you out. They're going to come back and check you out. Now see, and it says, if they find the house the same way that they left it, empty, swept, and garnished, they'll go and they'll take seven other spirits more wicked than themselves. The last day of the man will be worse than the first. Now let me tell you something right now, folks. If it was possible to cast spirits out of unbelievers, and you went out there and you got a hold of a guy pushing drugs on the street and cast the devils out of him, how many know that when those devils turn around and come back, what would be in that house that would keep the devils from regaining entrance? And an unsaved man. I always say to people, if you cast them out of unsaved people, you better be sure you get him to the Lord. Because he's a hurting rascal sure enough if you don't. I mean, I just throw that in there to make the people see the fallacy in that type of teaching. Brother, it's for God's people. But what I want the God's people to see, that even though the devils is put out of them, those devils, when they come back and check that house out, if they find that house the way, when it says empty, swept, and gone, it says if they find it the way it was when they left it, they're going to come back in. And the way it was when, what I mean by this, the way it was when they left it, for example, if you were walking and had hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever, for your brothers and sisters, and you come here tonight, and you get those devils put out of you, and we cast them out. Listen, it shows us how thoroughly and how cleanly, how effectively God cleanses the house. He said it's empty, it's swept, it's cleaned out. God will clean the house out. It's up to you, as I've said many times, it's up to you to fill the house up and put the right furniture in the house. You've got to fill the house up, folks, with the things of God. Believe me when I tell you. You better walk out of here. If you get those type of spirits put out of you tonight, you better walk out of here and start walking in the love of God. If you've had unforgiveness for somebody, you better go to them as soon as you can. Grab them, hug their neck, and say, "Brother, I love you in the name of the Lord. I just want you to know that I had aught against you, but God delivered me tonight. He freed me, and I want you to know that I love you." And just begin walking in the love of God. See, that's filling that house up. Where that bitterness and where that envy and where that jealousy and where all of this and that hatred and all of this was there, it's been cleaned out. God cleaned it out. Now you're placing something there in its place. You're filling that house up with the love of God, with the righteousness of God. You follow what I'm saying? This is filling up the house. But see, if the devils are put out and, you know, and you keep walking, because let me tell you something, a weakness in the flesh is what caused the devils to come in and begin with. You know what I'm saying? And when those devils are put out, you're going to still have that tendency and that flesh. You know, because there's a sin principle there. You'll have something, a tendency in that flesh to react. But see, you've got to recognize that the devils now are on the outside. You've got to kind of bring this flesh under control. The Bible says crucify that mess. Amen. And go to the people. And fill the house up. Begin to fill it up with the love of God. I'll tell you something right now. Brother, I've tried this. When I say I've tried it, I've done this. And I'll tell you something. You may have been a little bit nervous making that first step. You may not have spoke to a person in 20 years because of something they may have did to you. But let Brother Halcombe tell you something. When you get ministered to like this and get forgiveness and get those devils put out, you may be a little nervous when you're knocking on the door. But I'll tell you one thing. When you walk over that threshold and you throw your arms around their neck, you're going to experience a high in Christ that you never experienced before. I'm serious, folks. I'm serious. You'll experience the love of God like never before. I've experienced it. And, and I know, praise God, that these things are very real. Amen. It's all God. Praise God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hosea 4:6, my brother quoted to me downstairs about how God says, my people are destroyed or perished for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. A lot of God's people are perishing, being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Let me tell you something right now. I read something in the paper a while back that I almost cried when I read it. I almost cried when I read it. Now let me tell you what I read. You may have read the same thing in a paper. It happened in California. They had a young preacher out on the streets having street meetings with his Bible. Bless God, open, and he was reading the Word of God. He was preaching John 3:16. Pleading to the young drug addicts and the young, you know, prostitutes and whatever to give their hearts to Christ. Talking about his testimony, how he once was like them. How he once was in the down deep in the dredges of sin, and how an evangelist came through preaching the love of Christ, how he accepted Christ as his Savior, how he was born again, how his name's inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, how he's escaped hell, he's got a home in heaven, and was preaching like this and just preaching up a storm. And there were some kids that came out of the tavern right near there where he was preaching and began to mock and begin to laugh and begin to poke their finger at him and call him all kinds of old vile and filthy names. He said the young man just kept on preaching. They kept on calling him names, kept on mocking him, kept on laughing. After a while, he just quit preaching, closed his Bible up, and walked away. And they still stood there with their beer in one hand, guzzling beer, and waving their hand and laughing and mocking and everything else. And just having a time, you know, and making fun of the gospel. All at once they heard a motor roaring, racing, a car racing behind them. And before they turned around, that preacher ran through that crowd of kids and killed, I think the paper said, about three or four of them. Killed about three or four of them. What happened to that preacher? He got so infuriated, so angry, so mad. He left that scene of where he was preaching, walked around the block. He got in his car and came back around the block, souped up his engine, and drove through that crowd of teenagers and killed about three or four. And they made big headlines out of how that he was out there, a born-again preacher preaching the gospel. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know what was wrong with that poor preacher? I'll guarantee you that he had a bunch of devils that he had never gotten rid of. Frustration, aggravation, anger, violence, retaliation, murder, they're all demon spirits. And I'll guarantee you that those devils rose up in that man, although he was a preacher of the gospel, and caused that man to do that foul thing. And I'll tell you something, when I read it, I almost cried. See, that's enough to make you cry now, isn't it? Because I can just see a young minister of the Gospels out there trying to get salvation across to the people. And the poor man, as I said, in all probability needed all kinds of deliverance, because that's what I thought about the moment I read it. I read about another preacher down here in Camden. This has been a number of years ago. Come out of his house. Well, when I say a preacher, he was certainly a churchgoer. He come out of his house with a Bible in one hand, quoting scripture, and reached in his back pocket and pulled a pistol and started shooting, killed about six people. Churchgoer. They gave his position in the church and everything. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, the prophet of old cried out. For a lack of knowledge. Multitudes are being destroyed. Maybe not as violently as that. But the devil, in one way or another, are killing and taking God's people off the scene. Infirm devils are killing them at an early age. How many believes that cancer and things like this is of the devil? It's a demon spirit, infirm spirits, lung disorders, heart problems. They're infirm devils in so many cases are killing God's people. Multitudes of God's people are in mental institutions. Amen. I've been in there. I've ministered with them. I've cast devils out of them. Believe me when I tell you. And mental institutions. Walking around corridors. Every time their mind comes to themselves, they're walking around these corridors. Quoting scripture. Reading the Bible. Trying to pray. Trying to rejoice. Bill, I'll tell you something. They call me and I tell this everywhere I go. I don't know what the case is now, but they call me to a mental hospital down here. Now, it's the most astounding thing I ever witnessed in my life. A woman was in that hospital and some of the people come to church or at work down there. And brother, let me tell you something. I always say this. When you're praying, pray for a woman named Ruthie. Woman told me, she said, Brother Halcombe, why don't you come see her? She said, because every once in a while, she said, I see her talking about Jesus. And when she talks about Jesus, she begins crying. She says, and Brother Halcombe, why don't you come down and see her? And said, and then she'll go off and start just jibber-jabbering. And, you know, and they sedate her and put her in a bed and all this. Why don't you come down and see her? So I said, I'll do that. And I went down there one day, and I went into a room, make a long story short, and they brought in this woman. And brother, I'm telling you, she was just, as if you ever looked at a person and said, now that's a crazy woman, that's what you would have said. Her hair just all messed up, and she was just jibber-jabbering and beating the desk as she sat down. And I was trying to talk to her. I said, Ruthie, and I laid my hand on her back, arm around her, I was trying to talk to her. I knew I didn't have too long to minister. And boy, she just kept on and on and on and on. Couldn't even make no sense out of it all. I knew I wasn't going to be there long, but I said, Lord, you brought me here. You opened the door. How many believes the Holy Ghost knows what he's doing? How many believes God's a sovereign God? You do your thing when God opens the door and leave the results up to the Holy Ghost. And that's just the way I prayed. I said, Lord, you brought me here. You opened this door. Lord, I'm going to stand in my authority here in this hospital. I'm going to do what you've taught me to do, what you've called me to do. This, Lord, I believe is your child. I've heard testimony of it, Lord, and I bear witness in my spirit that she ain't supposed to be here. And I begin calling them devils out. I mean, every devil that God gave me, mental insanities and all type of evil spirits, I begin calling them devils out of her. All types of devils of madness, and these and things and that and nervous breakdown. I just was calling out. Wanted just a mile a minute. And I prayed like this for about 10 minutes. There wasn't a speck of change in that woman. Not a bit. And just as I got done praying, the orderlies came, or the psychiatrist came, really is who it was, and picked her up and took her out. They're still jabbering and carrying on. Now let me tell you something. Make a long story short, 2 weeks later I went back down there to visit a young man. They asked me to come see a young man. I took Donald Scott with me. And me and Donald went down there, and I know Donald will never forget this, and I won't either, because God really spoke to my heart through this. I went up on the floor where she was at, and I said, I'll come up here to see Ruthie, see how she is. I was here a couple weeks ago, prayed with her, want to know how she's doing. And the nurse smiled and said, well, she'll be up here in a minute. I said, where is she at? She said, she's taking a bath. Now, let me tell you something. After a while, I looked, and a woman came up the hall, didn't know her. Had her hair slicked back and everything, and came out of the shower with a bathrobe on. And she came up. Joanne knows what I'm talking about. She came up, and I'm looking at her, and she stopped and looked up at me. She had said, you Brother Halcombe? I said, yeah, I'm Brother Halcombe. She said, don't you know me? I said, don't believe I do. I said, who are you? She said, come on, Brother Halcombe. I said, now, Lord, you done pull one on me. I've saw some things, but this has got to take the cake. I told Donald, I said, that's that woman I prayed for. I said, you're Ruthie? She said, Brother Halcombe, come in here. She said, I've got something to tell you. I took her back in the same room I was with her 2 weeks ago. And, Brother, let me tell you something. That woman and Duck sits there and bears witness with her, Brother. Was she in a sound mind, Donald? She began to talk to us and tell us, she said, Brother Halcombe, she said, when you came in here and prayed for me, she said, I recognized you was calling out devils. She said, but I couldn't do a thing about it, she said, because I was overpowered. She said, Brother Halcombe, it's like my spirit, the real me, was away down here someplace in prison. But I was looking up and I was seeing a man of God battling the forces of hell. And she said, and this is kind of the way that it was. And said, you was calling those devils out of me? She said, Brother Halcombe, when I left here and they took me back to my room, she said, those devils began leaving my mind one and two at a time. She said, it took 2 weeks for those devils to completely leave me. And she said, I'll tell you, Brother Halcombe, she said, right now, she said, I stand free, delivered and set free by the power of the living God, and begin speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now let me tell you something. Begin to weep and cry. We started having church then. We started rejoicing. Lord have mercy, huh? Yeah, and Donald said she started singing some old Pentecostal hymns she used to sing. She said her father and mother had a deliverance and a healing ministry in this part of the country many, 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 many years ago. And I said, how did you get in this place, Ruthie? What happened to you? She said at the age of 40, she had a nervous breakdown, started having marital problems. And through it, she had a nervous breakdown. And she said, and her husband took her to the psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist, you know the story from there. He put her on pills. And then she went into the psych wards of the local hospitals and out of them. And then they finally sent her down to this hospital down here, the Lakeland Psychiatric Hospital down here. And she said, and I've been here ever since, Brother Halcombe. And this is what really floored me. And I said, you've been here ever since? I said, when did you come in here, Ruthie? She said, at the age of 40. I said, how old are you now, Ruthie? She said, I'm 76 years old. I've been in here 36 years. And she said, Brother Halcombe, she said, every electric shock treatment they gave me, she said, I got worse and worse and worse. And I began talking. I said, well, dear God, I said, we've got to get you out of here. I was ready to rent an apartment or anything. I'll tell you the truth. I said, I've got to get you out of here. Know what she told me? She said, Jesus has spoken to me and told me that this hospital is my mission field. She said, it's the only friends that I've had and known for the last 36 years. Said, my husband's dead. My daughter's up in New York and don't come and visit me, or whoever it was she was telling me about. She said, these are the only friends that I know is right here in the hospital. And she said, the Lord told me that I'm to stay here and I'm to witness Christ and the delivering power of Jesus to every one of them. And then I began to shout, and we got happy. Amen. But as I said, I asked some of the people from Lakeland Hospital a while back. I said, what happened to Ruthie? How's she dying? And One day, one of the women that come here, a nurse, she said, you know, she said, the other day I looked down there and said she had her Bible out, and she had a lot of those patients in that room, and she was reading the Bible to them and trying to teach them one of the old songs of Zion. And she said, and you know, she said the orderlies went by and saw that. They went in there and they snatched hold of Ruthie, stuck needle or something in her, sedated her, and threw her in her bed because she would really flip out and she was upsetting the patients. You start talking about Jesus Christ in a mental hospital, as far as they're concerned, you have flipped your cork for sure. Yeah. Isn't that right, Joanne? Now that sister back there works in this hospital. And I don't know the state of this woman now, but I'll tell you the truth. I've had a burden for her because I know that woman is a child of God. And this is the condition. As I said, if you ever praying, you get a hold of Ruthie, bless God, that comes to you, pray for her. She's a legitimate, blood-washed, blood-bought child of the living God. Baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, and been bound up in a mental hospital for 36 years. She could have came out. As I said, when I say she could have came out, I was ready to help her to get out. She said, the only one thing I want to do, Brother Halcombe, she said, I will come down to your church some evening. And she said, I'd like to get up there and teach your people one of the old songs that we used to sing years ago. And she got up and started singing it for me and Duck and began crying. Well, bless God, that just got a hold of us too. I said, oh Lord. I said, come on down and sing it for us then. She said, I'll do that. But bless God, that's, I'm just saying that, folks. You say a child of God can't have a demon. Don't be so naive and foolish as to think things like that. Because of this type of teaching that children of God can't, many of God's people are locked up behind bars and in institutions like that. And you take a man, bless God, that's just, I feel sometimes like I got a toothpick, a picking at a mountain. And every time I see somebody come in and catch a hold of the minister of deliverance and say, Brother Halcombe, I'm going to go and take this message to Philadelphia. I'm going to take it to Delaware. I'm going to take it to Maryland. I'm going to take it someplace in Pennsylvania. I'll tell you something. Something triggers off. I have the 4th of July. Men, down in my spirit, fireworks go off. I say, Lord Jesus, you're all right. Here's another blow that's been struck at the devil. You follow what I'm saying? Amen. So I thank God, my friends, for the opportunity to preach deliverance to the captives. A lot of people say, well, what do you think about the disciples? You think they had any devil? Sure do. Is it Scripture? Sure it's Scripture. If you want to read it and believe it, I read it in the 16th chapter of Mark where Mary Magdalene, one of the first people that saw Jesus after his resurrection, one of the first evangelists right there because she was sent to tell others about what she had seen. Can you say amen? Amen. One of the first people that Christ revealed himself to after his resurrection, sent to tell others what Jesus had done for her. The Bible points it out real clear and said, and Jesus cast 7 devils out of her. 7 devils out of her. Judas, a preacher. The daughter of Abraham with the infirm devils. And if you want to look real carefully in the Word of God, you could find a whole lot more proof that Christians can and do need deliverance. That deliverance is the children's bread. It belongs to the people of God. Amen. And I'm going to end with that. And somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God. But let me tell you something. When I get talking about things like that, I don't know. I feel something get a hold of me. I could feel bad. I'm telling you the truth. I could feel like I got one foot in a grave and the other on a banana peel and I'm slipping fast. I could feel anything like that. I'll start preaching along these lines and something gets hold of me. And brother, I'll tell you the truth. I feel strong and I feel good. I felt sleepy a while ago and tired. I feel good now. Amen. Amen. I feel like going into combat. I feel like knocking the devil on his backside. Amen. I feel like casting devils out of people. If there's people here that need devils cast out of them, I'll tell you one thing. Any demons in this house tonight is shaking like a leaf on a tree because they've heard the word come forth. Their goods has been exposed. Amen. They know that if you want to go on with God and you want to get rid of them, they know they have to go. That's why they're shaking. Praise God. How many in here tonight need deliverance? Praise God. I'm going to ask the ushers to do just like we do all the time. We have this prayer here that I want to take you through. It's just a prayer of renouncing certain sins and calling on the Lord for His deliverance. I mean, for His forgiveness and His deliverance. And as I take you through this prayer, if you feel, you know, the enemy stirring within, and you feel manifestations of the enemy, and you feel an urge to, you know, to release those spirits through coughing, through a scream or whatever, go right ahead. It won't disturb a one of us. Amen. I want to just tell you something before we get into prayer, that there's not going to be any way out crazy things happen here tonight. It's not going to take 8 or 10 people to hold one person down to get them delivered. There's enough power in the spoken word of God to get every devil out of people in the state of New Jersey. Nobody has to hold nobody down. You just yield to the Lord. Resist the devil. Yield yourself to the Lord. And the Bible says, when you do this, resist the devil and yield to him, that the devil will flee from you. Now I just want you to say this prayer. Say, thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins, for your glorious resurrection, and for making me a new creature in Christ by faith in your precious blood. Dear Lord, I have a confession to make. I have sought supernatural experiences apart from you. I have disobeyed your word. I want you to help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. I renounce witchcraft and magic, both black and white. I renounce Ouija boards and all other occult games. I renounce all seances, clairvoyance, mediums, ESP, second sight, and mind reading. I renounce all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, and other card laying. I renounce all astrology and interest in horoscopes. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation and all healing groups involved in metaphysics. I renounce all hypnosis under any excuse or authority. I break any curse placed on me from any occult source. In Jesus' name, I renounce all curiosity about either future or past, which is outside thy will. I renounce water dowsing or witching, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometry, and automatic writing. I renounce astral projection and other demonic skills. I renounce all literature I have ever read in any of these fields. And I vow that I will destroy such books in my possession. Now you listen to what you've said here. You have said here, folks, let me just break in here, that you'll destroy any type of literature or books in your possession. You promised the Lord. Now, it could be something as seemingly innocent as Jehovah Witness literature, Awake magazines, and this and that. Don't believe those magazines aren't going to wake you up, folks. They're going to put you to sleep. Okay? Get rid of them. Burn them is the scriptural way of destroying them. Just say, now I now break in the name of Jesus Christ all psychic heredity and any demonic hold upon my family line as a result of the disobedience of any of my ancestors. I break any bonds of physical or mental illness in Jesus' name. I also break all demonic subjection to my mother, father, grandparents, or any other human being. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce everything psychic and occult. I renounce every cult that denies the blood of Christ. I renounce every philosophy that denies the divinity of Christ. And I call on the Lord to set me free. And Lord Jesus, I have not always loved, but I have resented certain people. I call on you now. Help me to forgive them. I do now forgive. Now, anybody you have aught against, I want you to forgive them. Regardless of who it is, I want you to forgive anybody. Amen. And the Lord will help you with this. Whoever it is, father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, whoever, the Holy Ghost will bring it to your mind. If a name comes to your mind, recognize that's the Holy Ghost. Just place her name in there. Father, I forgive. And whatever name is brought to you, forgive them. See, forgiveness is nothing, my friends, except an act of the will and an utterance of the lips. You will yourself to forgive a person, then you voice it. That's what forgiveness is. Feelings will come later. When the spirits are put out, this is when feelings will come. And say, Lord Jesus, I do now forgive myself, and I forgive you. And I want you to just say this personally to the devil. It's just your testimony to the devil. Say, Satan, I testify personally to you and every demon spirit under your control and authority. Every fallen angel, every principality, every power, every ruler of the darkness of this world, I testify to you as to what the Word says the blood of Jesus Christ does for me. Through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of your hand. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses me from all sin. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified and made righteous, just as if I never sinned. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy, and set apart to God. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, redeemed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You have no place in me. You have no power over me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the name that is above every name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord, your Master, in that name that is above every name, that a name that is forever settled in heaven, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against you and I command you to go from me right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I call on you now according to your word, according to Joel 2:32, that says, all that call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I call on you now, deliver and set me free.